In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The feast of the Maternity of the Blessed Virgin Mary is a very important feast in the calendar and very important in the observation, the observance, of the homage that is due to our Blessed Lady. For in it we find two great dogmas. First is the unity of the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And second is the title of Our Lady's dignity and privileges. If we look at the first, the unity of person in our Lord Jesus Christ, it is Catholic faith defined that in our Lord there are two natures but only one person, and that person is the second person of the Blessed Trinity. Person answers the question, who is it? Nature answers the question, what is it? And therefore in our Lord there is the human nature and the divine nature. But our Lord is not two things. He is not two people. But rather, He is one person. The two natures are united in a single person, and that person is the second person of the Blessed Trinity. And this is why our Blessed Lord has always been portrayed in Catholic art as someone very sacred, because He is sacred. He is the second person of the Blessed Trinity. This dogma was attacked by a heretic by the name of Nestorius, who was the patriarch of Constantinople in ancient times. In the year 428, on Christmas Day, he got up and said that in our Lord there were not only two natures, but also two persons. A human person and a divine person, and that they were linked only by a grace, linked accidentally in the same way, for example, that two boxcars might be coupled together. The logical result of such a doctrine, which he himself pointed out, is that one cannot say that Mary is the mother of God, but rather only of the human person Christ. So we may say, according to the heretic, she is the mother of Christ, or she is the mother of the human nature of Christ, but not Mother of God. This assertion was a shock and a scandal to the clergy and the people of Constantinople. They walked out on him. A monk got out into the aisle of the great cathedral in Constantinople and denounced him to his face as he stood at the pulpit and told him that he was a heretic. And they no longer regarded him as their true bishop because he had publicly defected from the Catholic faith. The unity of person in Christ, therefore, and the divine maternity of the Blessed Virgin Mary were solemnly proclaimed at the Council of Ephesus in the year 431. And in other subsequent councils. And the reason why our Blessed Lady has the title of Mother of God is because she can truly and really say, my Son is God. And He, our Blessed Lord, can say, this is my mother.
I am God, and this person is my mother, in the truest sense of the word. Now, does it mean that our Blessed Lady gave birth to His divinity? No. But she gave birth to Him, and He is God. And she is the Mother of God. Now, this error of Nestorianism runs thick in Protestant theology and in modernist theology, Vatican II theology. For this reason, we see our Lord, most recently in the past 25 years, portrayed in an excessively human manner, as if He were a divided person, as if there were a human person, Christ. He appears as one of the guys, so to speak, when in fact, He was not, but rather a sacred person, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, united to our human nature. Similarly, our Blessed Lady is blasphemously portrayed as being simply an ordinary woman, or even worse than an ordinary woman. But these are the times in which we live. The second important point of this feast is that the divine maternity is the basis of all of Our Lady's dignity and privileges. Our Lady was immaculately conceived because she was to be the Mother of God. Because the second person of the Blessed Trinity could not even be remotely connected to sin, but rather anything that touched Him, anything that came close to Him, had to be completely free of sin. For sin and God are two things that are diametrically opposed. They are the most opposed thing of the universe, God and sin. And they could not come together in the Mother of God. She received the grace, furthermore, of being perfectly sinless throughout her whole life. Not even one venial sin. Why? Because she is the Mother of God. And no sin can come close to God. Not even that close. She is the co-redemptrix, that is, our Lord's assistant in the work of redemption. Why? Because she is the Mother of God. She is the mediatrix of all graces, the person to whom God has given the distribution, the work of distribution of His graces as Mother of the human race. Why? Because she is the Mother of God. She was assumed gloriously into heaven. Why? Because she is the Mother of God. She is Queen of angels and saints. Because she is the Mother of God. And go through her litany. And after each of her splendid titles, you could say, because Thou art the Mother of God. Now, there are a few lessons for us contained in this holy doctrine. The first is that the glory of Mary is Christ. The glory of Mary is Christ. There is nothing, no homage, no honor to be paid to her that does not come from Christ. That does not come from her intimate relation and absolutely unique relationship to Christ as his mother. The second point is, consider the dignity of the priesthood. If the dignity of the Blessed Virgin Mary arises from her connection to Christ, now think about the dignity of the priesthood, how the priest is connected to Christ. The priest goes to the altar with his power that he has received from Christ through the apostles, and says at the altar, "This is my body, this is the chalice of my blood," as if he were Christ himself standing there, and by that power which he has, he calls down the majesty of the second person of the Blessed Trinity upon the altar. In the same way that our Blessed Lady, or in a similar way I should say, that our Blessed Lady conceived in her womb the majesty of the second person of the Blessed Trinity. There is a very strong analogy there, a very strong comparison between what the priest does and what Our Lady did as Mother of God. And when we think about all of the homage and honor that is given by the Church to our Blessed Lady for her dignity, let us also then consider the great dignity of the priesthood. For the glory of the priesthood is the glory of Christ, just as the glory of Mary is the glory of Christ. And therefore, priests should be given all dignity and reverence for their holy state, no matter what should be either their personal virtues or their personal faults. Their holy state is similar to the great dignity of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And likewise, priests and those who are destined to the priesthood should see the great calling of sanctity. Look at the sanctity of the Blessed Virgin Mary, because she was to touch the second person of the Blessed Trinity. The sanctity that God demanded of her, and the graces that God bestowed upon her, in order that she touch a member, a person of the Blessed Trinity. Priests touch God and the things of God. Let them therefore sanctify themselves after the manner of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And thirdly, and finally, understand by the same token the sanctity which is necessary for the sacrament of Holy Communion. When you go and receive Holy Communion, you are receiving in your body the same Christ that was received into the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And as God prepared a place for himself in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary by the Immaculate Conception, by a most extraordinary privilege of barring from her soul any sin so that he could inhabit her body and soul, so understand the sanctity of Holy Communion. For there again you touch our Lord Jesus Christ. He comes upon your tongue. You take Him into your body. He is the second person of the Blessed Trinity. And you must be at least in the state of sanctifying grace in order to come to Holy Communion. At least. But it is so fitting that more be done. It is so fitting that you prepare yourself and understand seriously what you are doing when you come to this holy table. And when you recede from Holy Communion, to go back and make a thanksgiving. I occasionally see some people leaving early from Mass after having been at Holy Communion. They get up and leave early after the priest has reposed the Blessed Sacrament, and they leave. This is not pleasing to God. Rather, it is fitting to rather stay after Mass and say some prayers of thanksgiving to God for such an ineffable gift as to receive His body and blood as our Blessed Lady did. All the principles are the same, that when you touch God, you must do so with the greatest reverence and the greatest sinlessness. And so, as a conclusion to this beautiful contemplation of the motherhood of God, let us resolve to give special attention to the Hail Mary, in which we say, day after day, Mother of God, Holy Mary, Mother of God. Let that dogma, that Catholic dogma defined in ancient times, held by all Catholics everywhere, let it ring out like the great bells of a cathedral. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.